It starts with the first element of coaching magic is, I am magic. And so are you, Amir. What I came to the acceptance of is this spirit, this playful spirit of mine actually is the gift to the world. And I felt the energy shift to this just unreasonable anger. And they started to physically fight.
Oh, wow.
Celebration. And when we can be in a mindset of playfulness and gratitude and celebration, the neurons in our brain are so much more free to imagine new possibilities. You can choose to see the world as if everything is magic or as if nothing is magic. And I just choose to see that everything is magic.
Welcome to The Show Goes On, a podcast about the people who keep businesses running no matter the challenges. My name is Amir Narani, and today I'm joined by an incredible guest, Jill Young. Jill Young is an expert EOS implementer and business coach who has led over 1,000 full-day sessions, helping more than 100 companies strengthen leadership alignment and execution. Coming from an entrepreneurial family, she focuses on helping businesses implement EOS effectively to improve structure, efficiency, and long-term scalability. She was also a head coach at EOS Worldwide for 4 years. Jill, thank you so much for being here today. How are you?
Amir, I'm so excited to be here. It's morning time. I'm fresh. I'm excited. I'm fully caffeinated and focused. What a great way to start a morning with a podcast. So thanks for having me on.
Of course. Yeah. Mornings are great for this. I'm already 2 cappuccinos in, so I'm feeling pretty good too. I have a very expensive cappuccino habit, so it's not good.
2 cappuccinos in.
2 cappuccinos in. So Jill, you know, we were talking a little bit before this, but that's your bio, but I just want to dive straight in and ask you, what's the real story behind this and how has your practice evolved over time?
Thank you so much for asking, because as you read that bio, I'm thinking to myself, that feels very heavy. Like, oh my gosh, that's a lot of responsibility. Who is this person? Who is this person? And it was so great to have that feeling, because as I listened to you read the bio, and then I asked myself, how am I feeling right now? What am I sensing right now? My life and my practice feels a lot more playful. Mm-hmm. Then I think one of the things you said in the bio is, you know, execution and discipline. And I'm like, and I do that. I still do that. I still help teams with that. But these days it feels a lot more playful. I've also begun to evolve my practice into coaching coaches, which is what I did at EOS Worldwide as head coach. Myself and the coaching team, we created programs for developing EOS implementers, which I love to say the phrase, I'm the coach that coaches the coaches that coaches the coaches, coach the coaches who coach the entrepreneurs. It's just been a lot of fun to really feed into that. Everything I've learned from coaching entrepreneurs and their leadership teams to really taking a step back and asking myself and playing with, what is happening right there? When a professional helps an entrepreneurial company, what's really happening right there? How can we do it with a little more magic, with a little less stress, a little more effortlessness? I like to call it the magic, flowing with the magic. So I've created a product for coaches called Coaching Magic. It's really fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, I noticed Coaching Magic. Can you tell us more about Coaching Magic and how did that start about?
Well, as with any entrepreneurial endeavor, we often create what we need. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to say that again. We often create what we needed. What I discovered, what I specifically needed in the beginning, I needed a space to grow in my own self. We call it grow in my own magic, grow in my own energy, create my own style of coaching. When I came into coaching, I took the opposite approach. The opposite approach is, instead of coming into my own style, I took the approach of go learn everything I can, read every single book, take all of the workshops, dig into that, and very intellectualize the concept of coaching. Now that worked. That is, there is no mistake. I've done over 1,000 sessions. I've helped over 100 companies. They're getting good results. That absolutely worked. And at the same time, I worked myself to the bone. And it started to become very stressful, very heavy. I was attached to my clients' outcomes. If they weren't getting the outcome that I wanted for them or that I thought they should be getting, it was very heavy. I wasn't sleeping at night. I was also trying to, at the same time, raise a family, find my own footing, find out who I was. So this Coaching Magic product is much more for the coach to find their own style, to become more confident in that style, whatever that style is, and to take all of the things they have learned and really package them in a very unique way that is both going to help them continue to learn and grow and their clients continue to learn and grow in a more effortless way.
Yeah, I love that. That's incredible. And, you know, I was going to wait till a little bit later to ask you this, but the words magic, playfulness, play, and mindfulness continue to show up in a lot of your work. So where did that come from? Because it consistently shows up as themes in your work. And I love that. So I just want to hear more about that.
Thank you so much for asking me all of my favorite questions, Amir. Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you so much. Amir, I really feel like it is me going back to who I already was, who I have always been, and going back to even one of my earliest memories is jumping on the fireplace mantle, you know, not the one above the fireplace, but the one below the fireplace where you can sit and cozy up by the fire, turning on the lights above that. And inviting my brothers, sisters, and parents to a show. And I would sing and dance, and I was 3 years old. So when I think about what attracted them to that show, I grew up in a family where I was the youngest by 10 years. So what a beautiful benefit. And when I ask them about wasn't I just annoying? Wasn't I just absolutely annoying? And how did you even live with me? The stories they share with me. And this is thank you for asking this question, because I'm tearing up a little bit right now because I feel so, so blessed and awestruck that I got to grow up in this family where when I ask my brothers and sisters and my parents this, you know, were you annoyed with me? They said, that was the best part of our lives when you invited us to the magic show. That was the best part, is watching you be delightful and playful. And then still moving forward into my teenage years, I would be irritated when, as a teenager, we would do exercises. We were at sleepovers or we had a church exercise where we shared with each other what we saw in each other. And consistently, Amir, people would use the word bubbly. And I would get irritated. There was a part of me that was irritated. I'm like, aren't I more than just bubbly? Just bubbly? And as I grew in my own coaching practice, what I came to the acceptance of is this spirit, this playful spirit of mine actually is the gift to the world. So I started to really embrace that. And when I played with finding a word that described that, I chose magic. I chose magic because magic is so much fun. There's mystery to it. There's excitement to it. There's wonder to magic. And I read a quote that really hit me. And you know, Amir, a lot of quotes are attributed to Einstein. So, you know, that's where I read it. So
he's
who knows?
He's a smart guy.
He's a smart guy. But the quote was, you can choose to see the world as if everything is magic or as if nothing is magic. And I just choose to see that everything is magic. In coaching magic, if we really play with it and unfold it. We like that word in coaching magic. It's just unfold. Magic at its core in coaching magic is presence. And every human can have their own style of being present. But if we really get into it and uncover and unfold all of the layers of coaching, that coaching magic really is the ability for a loving being that we call coaches to be 100% present with the human that they are coaching. So sometimes we say magic equals presence.
I love that. And digging a little deeper, how do you cultivate that magic, that presence? What are some things that you do in your day-to-day life that help bring that side out of you?
Okay, I have some fun things for you.
Okay, cool.
Everybody, I invite you to try this.
Yeah.
I invite you to try this. It has been so useful for me. One of the things I love to do, and I teach the coaches this as well. In fact, I'm going to tell you in a story. Can I tell you in a story?
Of course. Yeah,
I
of
love
course.
stories.
I'm here for it.
As I was head coach a couple of years ago, some newer implementers asked me, they said, Jill, you talk about preparation, and I teach preparation. Preparation for the coaching session is so critical. It's useful. It makes everything feel so easeful and flowy. Versus the opposite of preparation is to just wing it and you just fly in here by the seat of your pants.
Mm-hmm.
Coaches, really great coaches, really invest in preparation so that they can be 100% present and it feels to the client as if the coaching session is magical. It looks to the human, we like to call them the human,
mm-hmm.
it looks to the human that this is so easy and it appears as magic. So I'm really big on preparation and reflection. One day, a few new EOS implementers had said, Jill, you talk about preparation. What is your preparation for an EOS session? And I told this story. The night before, as I'm going to bed, I visualize the team I'm going to meet with the next morning. And I visualize them as smiling, happy. They're in their best selves. I visualize them high-fiving each other. I do whatever comes to my mind, but I spend, sometimes it's 30 seconds, sometimes it's 3 minutes, sometimes 30 minutes, who knows? But I visualize them as I'm going to bed. I'm very grateful for the chance to serve them. And I have a really nice sleep. Then I wake up in the morning at 4:44. You're like, what? That's so specific. I wake up at 4:44. I get out of bed. I brush my teeth. I go to the gym. I work out for an hour. I come home. I meditate. After I meditate, I stretch. I think about things. I'm laying on my yoga mat. Sometimes thoughts come to me and I text a client or two, or I text a friend or two. I call it the yoga. What did I call it? The yoga mat inspiration. You know, it's like whatever comes to me. Mm-hmm. It's how I stay connected to people. Then I get my kids ready and I have my breakfast, and I even described what I have for breakfast, and I take my greens, and these days I'm drinking my creatine, and I take my nootropics, and I take my multivitamins and all, you know, all supplements and all this stuff. Then I get in the car and then I start driving. And as I'm driving to the session room, I'm usually listening to a podcast. These days, I love the tool Marco Polo. Do you know Marco Polo?
I haven't heard that one. No.
It's so great because you share videos back and forth with friends. And it's actually one of the ways that we engage in coaching each other, which is amazing. And then I get to the session room. And at this point, somebody says, time out. Jill, you are not answering the question. What we wanted to know is how you prepare for your EOS sessions. And there was like a heavy silence. Like, this is how I prepare. I'm preparing myself. I'm preparing my vessel. I'm preparing my body, my spirit. I'm giving my mind some stimulation. What they wanted is, how do I take the paperwork and circle the things that I would like to hold the team accountable for? And like, no, it's all 95% of it is how I am preparing my humanness to then go in and serve the other humans.
Mm-hmm.
The other humans. So here's another delightful part of the story. So then I said, I get into the session room and I turn on some music just delightful music that I love, and I dance.
That's awesome.
I dance in the session room. I feel like I'm stirring up the energy. I'm putting my energy into the room. I'll run around and sometimes I leap through the air because that's kind of fun. And I twirl around and I'm touching the tables, like really thinking about the humans who are going to sit there. While I'm dancing, I will look through my binder. I will look through their tools. I'll make a note. I'll let something come to me. But that's how I prepare. Of course I look at the paperwork. Of course I do that. But sometimes that's only 5% of the preparation. Most of it is me preparing, my own magic. Those are the things that I do.
I love that. And you said too, yeah.
Well, I'm thinking maybe you have some cool things that you do to prepare your magic for the day.
Oh man.
You already gave us one.
Yeah. The two cappuccino thing.
Yeah, I heard it.
Oh, that's great. Okay, well, I have a thing that I do in the morning. I meditate every morning. That's important to me.
Love it.
I meditate, and as soon as I'm done meditating, I have these intentions that I read, and I'll go through and I'll read all my intentions. And I'm a big believer where if you read these words every single day, even when they don't really maybe ring true that day, it sticks in your head somehow, some way. It layers into your subconscious. And even when you don't know it and you're carrying out your daily actions, those words are flowing through your work then, you know?
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself. It's layering into your subconscious. Those words are delicious.
Yeah.
I love those words.
And then I do a little bit of stretching. You know, I got my foam roller, I got my lacrosse ball and everything. I'll do that stuff. And then there's this book that I read daily. It's called The Daily Stoic. And
I love The Daily Stoic.
Yeah. And so I'll just read a passage each day. So I call this MIS, meditate, intentions, stretch, stoic. And that's my morning routine. And I try to just keep it very simple and knock it out in 10 to 15 minutes. Because if I make it longer than that, then I'm going to be like, not today, not today.
There you go. So many great strategies in there,
yeah.
Amir. And I just, my experience of you so far, because we met 4 years ago.
Yeah.
My experience of you so far is you just have this presence about you that is calm and confident, and you just have this glow of joy about you. Just when I look at you, when I talk to you. So I'm going out on a limb, but I'm betting that MIS of yours every morning is really contributing to that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's super kind. You said two things that really stood out to me, preparing your vessel and visualization. I love the idea of visualization. Where did that come from? I'm curious because I haven't heard a lot of people really commit to that, but it sounds like that's a big part of your practice.
I think it just works for me.
Yeah.
So I'm almost 50. I'm super excited to be 50.
All right.
I grew up in an older family. So I always have this, like, I always want to be older. I know some people are like, oh no, I'm 50. I'm like, finally, I'm 50.
Yeah, yes! I get that.
But as I have grown up, if you will, I still don't feel like I'm an adult. I'm very much a child because that's part of who I am. I have an active imagination. In fact, fun fact, I cannot play video games like first person shooter or, you know, we're running from the dinosaur type of video games, zombie video games. I have three older sons, so they play a lot of this, but I can't because my mind, well, maybe it's not my mind, my body thinks it's real. That's what an active imagination I have. My imagination makes things real. So if, you know, that zombie's running at me in a video game, I freak out, I run, I throw the controller, and I just cannot control it. Now, of course, my sons think it's hilarious. So when they have friends over, they're like, Mom, come watch this video game just for a minute so my friends can see you freak out. It's really funny. I think where this visualization is coming from is that natural active imagination. And I've learned to incorporate my natural strengths, which visualization might not work for everybody, but it works for me because one of my natural strengths is imagination. So I've just incorporated that. That's how it's worked for me. I'm sure I have heard it taught somewhere. Like I said at the beginning, I read so many books. I went to so many workshops because I have absolutely heard it before. But I really love to see things happening with the highest good for all beings, with the highest joy for all beings. And it's working out so far, so good.
Amir. I'd say it's working out pretty good for you. Yeah.
So far, so good.
So you've led over 1,000 sessions, correct? And I'm curious, and I'm sure you have so many, you don't have to play favorites, but I'm curious, what was one of your most memorable sessions that sticks out to you?
Well, this is a really fun one because it might be something that you or the audience, or maybe even me, is not expecting me to say. But when you said which one sticks out to you, it was one that was really, really tough. And I wonder, I'm wondering just in this moment. Okay, can I sidebar for just a little bit?
Of course, yeah.
One of the new things I'm geeking out around is this phrase. And I don't even know if it's true. I'm suspecting it's true. I'm in the hypothesis phase. So maybe you can, give me some feedback. Your listeners can give me some feedback.
Sure.
Here's the phrase: until the question is asked, the answer doesn't exist. And I'm actually feeling that right now. We are witnessing it happening right now. You asked the question, a session that sticks out to you or is the most memorable. And until you ask me that, it didn't exist. But now I'm going to answer it and it's going to exist.
Yeah.
So
I love
we'll
that. Until the question is asked, the answer doesn't exist.
Yeah. The answer doesn't exist. So here's what's coming to me right now. This was a session early on in my career. And I think it may have been a turning point of something. We'll see. We'll see if something comes out here. Where we were in a session and two of the leadership team members, they like this energy shifted and I could feel it. And they, we believe in healthy conflict, running on EOS, healthy conflict. You can, you know what? I even say, like, if you got to yell at somebody, yell at someone, because when you apologize, that's going to help heal the relationship. It makes it better.
Yeah. So, strong repair. Yeah.
You're right. A strong repair. Thank you for that language. I love that. Strong repair. And, but the inner, it was conflict, healthy conflict, and people were shutting down, but then, and so I'm watching it and I'm new, I'm maybe 100 sessions in, maybe somewhere between 100 and 200, but probably my first 100 sessions. And I felt the energy shift to this just unreasonable anger. And these two leadership team members that just kind of like got up, kind of shoved their chair back. And they started to physically fight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Physically, they were like calling each other on, like it was the, like unreasonable. I have, have young adult boys. So I've seen teenage boys just, I have felt this before where the energy just shifts and it's like, oh. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, this is really bad. But also, somebody better do something about this.
Yeah.
That went through my mind. And then immediately it was, oh, that somebody is me. And no one had trained me on what to do in that situation. There's no, we don't have a module as an EOS implementer. What happens if people start fist fighting? Nope. That's totally an exception. I'd never read a book about it, nothing. And what I did do without really thinking about it, and this is, part of what we call our magic, is sometimes it doesn't go through your frontal cortex. Sometimes it just drops into your heart and you take action with your body.
Interesting.
And that is a real thing, like to hone that energy and know where that's coming from. But this was probably the first experience I had with that. And I just got physically in between them and I put my hands on both of their chests. And like a preschool teacher, I said, this is not how we act in here. I don't know. I said something like that.
Yeah.
And it just, it calmed the energy down, right away. It wasn't cleaned up at all, but it was able to move that human energy into a space that didn't get just purely destructive. So when I think back into that, and maybe that's my most memorable session.
Yeah. That's
Now that you
heavy. I can't
it is
imagine that.
heavy. It's heavy. Now, just in this moment, I think I just heard myself say, I think that was a turning point. Just in this moment, I think that's true. That was a turning point in I just had to use my coaching magic, not even knowing what it was. And I did it without really knowing what to do. I knew what to do. Knowing what to do in the head, I didn't, but in the heart, I did.
Yeah.
There you go. That, kind of heavy.
Yeah, no, but that's great. And, right now you're coaching coaches and previously, and even now you're coaching entrepreneurs, business owners.
Yeah,
You
sure.
said something interesting on LinkedIn. I read about this, about how sometimes the best coach for you is you.
Yes.
And the best coach for me is me. That really stuck with me. Can you expand on that?
It starts with the first element of coaching magic is I am magic. And so are you, Amir. And it's just that belief that we hold that I have everything inside me to solve my own issues, to unfold as I'm unfolding in this life path, to take care of myself. And I also love paradox because we also need each other, which is great. But to know, Amir, that you have all the resources you need to make a happy, satisfied life for yourself. And it starts with that. So if that's true, then you are your best coach. Only you can know exactly what you're thinking, exactly what you're feeling, exactly what your experiences were. Having a masterful coach wrap, so let's just as an example, if I wrap my energy around yours, all I'm really doing is creating a safe place for you to explore your own psyche, for you to explore your own heart. Because sometimes it doesn't feel safe out there in the world. We feel, as humans, we feel exposed. We feel a lot of ties to people pleasing and making money. And all of that just sometimes gets in our way. But you really are your best coach. When I've had my own best coaching experiences, when I am the human and another coach wraps their loving energy around me, in my best experiences, those masterful coaches have said very few words in those coaching sessions. They've asked questions, very masterfully crafted, but from their heart questions that open me up to just looking at my own wisdom, at my own experiences, very similar to what you just did for me. So Amir the coach today asked a beautiful question and I found something that I hadn't connected before. So we just had a coaching magic experience where I was the human and you were the coach. How fun is that?
This is magic. This is magic.
It's magic. It's magic. Thank you. Thank
yeah,
you.
Of course, of course. One of the other things I'm wondering is you're seeing all sorts of challenges that CEOs, entrepreneurs, and business owners are facing today. What are some of the main problems that you're seeing today? And I'm sure this has changed over the years, but what are some of the things that you're seeing business owners struggle with today?
I'm going to answer it at a surface level, and then we're going to go a little bit deeper.
Sure.
Still, for the last 11 years that I've been a coach or an official coach, it's finding great people. Always, always, always. It has never stopped. I think some of that is because in EOS we get really specific. It is they must be above the bar, which they match the core values, and they really need to get it, want it, and have capacity for it. We call that right person, right seat. So are we looking for a needle in a haystack? Sometimes it really feels like we are. That is the biggest thing. And it's just overall, I would say that's 80% of the common issues. Everything else is noise. Everything else is noise. We put a lot of effort into finding right people, right seats, because that really is the way to scale effectively, achieve the vision. You can trust the right people in the right seats and things flow like magic when you've got right people in the right seats, but everything else is fluff. So right now, everybody's talking about tariffs. We put it on the board, we look at it, we look at it, and it's like, well, we're going to be aware of it and we take steps towards it.
Perhaps it comes up in like the SWOT analysis, right? It's one of those
Sure.
threats that you really can't
That's great.
control.
Right. And even if we can't control it, we are still responsible for making sure that our company knows it's there and we are proactive and predicting what we need to do about it. So when we say like common challenges, that's what I would point to. But here's what I like to do. When coaches come in, but when teams come in at the beginning and they feel very heavy, oh, what are we going to do about this, 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 and this? I have a strategy for getting them to solve their issues effortlessly, but also move forward without getting too weighed down. And it really starts with a great reflection practice, kind of a mindfulness practice, but it's a reflection practice first on what is going well. Too many times, and again, we get bogged down with the gravity of our culture, of society, of our responsibilities, and now that those kind of energies tend to be heavy and they weigh us down. When they come to see me, like, great, what's going well? And we start to cut some of those tethers for things that are really weighing us down. But if you can start with what is going well, it puts us into this mindset of gratitude, celebration. And when we can be in a mindset of playfulness and gratitude and celebration, the neurons in our brain are so much more free to imagine new possibilities. It just opens up the possibilities that we could create. So if we always start with what's working well, it just adds this new energy. It's almost as if these things that they're coming in with heavy, they really do, they melt away. Half of them melt away. It's not really a thing. It's just something we're making up in our mind. The other thing that I teach is worry is a poor use of the creative mind. Oh, worry is worry. Like, make no mistake, worrying about things is a creative act. We are creative beings. That's awesome, but it's a poor use of the creative mind. So if we're going to assume, can we please assume in the positive? Now, that's not to say that there's not a space for let's list out all of the obstacles that we may encounter. Beautiful. List out those obstacles. When you name them, you contain them. When you name the obstacles, you contain the obstacles. But if they're just floating around back here and you're ruminating on them and you're worrying about them, oh, those are those heavy anchors that pull you down. Name the obstacles, and now let's put a strategy together for getting around those obstacles. It's just a thing. It's just a game. Chutes and ladders, Candyland. Oh, we came down the slide. We got to climb the ladder again. It
Jill,
doesn't need
you just
heavy.
dropped so many nuggets of wisdom right there. Like I wrote down like so many things and I still didn't capture all of it.
Well, it's a good
Worry
thing
is a,
we're recording it,
and
right?
that's why we're recording. Yeah. Worry is a poor use of the creative mind. And can we please assume in the positive? That really stuck out to me.
Yeah, it's in coaching magic, we call it encourage the glimmer.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between therapy and coaching. And therapy, we totally need therapy. I love therapy. Therapy, sometimes we really need to sit in the mud. We really need to sit in that heavy space. Sit and really explore those
Yeah.
heavier feelings and where that's coming from, and really dig in and find where the root of that is, and then unwind that back at the root and then build it back up from there. Therapy, beautiful for like sitting in those darker spaces. Therapy is really good for other things too. Okay, lots of good things. When we are in coaching, we acknowledge those things that are maybe going wrong, not working so well. We acknowledge those, but then we encourage the glimmer. The glimmer, I don't know if you've heard of this. This is kind of new language out there. A glimmer is the opposite of a trigger.
I've never
So
heard that. A
isn't
glimmer is
that
the
great?
opposite of a trigger.
So,
Okay.
we hear people walking around going, oh, that triggers me.
Yeah.
That triggers me when I hear that phrase. Awesome. I want to honor that there are things that trigger.
Sure.
things trigger me too. But the glimmer is the opposite of that. It's the things that light us up. It's the sunset. It's the giggle of a baby. It's when a leaf falls off of a tree and it falls right on top of you and you're like, oh my gosh, that's so great. So we encourage the glimmer. And in business, those glimmers are everything that's working well. These are our assets. Let's go maximize those. And sometimes something might trigger us, but it's like, oh, but I've got all this great stuff going on. So I have all these assets. I can go clean that mess up a little bit, but it doesn't need to be so heavy. It doesn't need to be so dramatic that this thing feels like it's going, air quotes, wrong.
Yeah.
We encourage the glimmer.
You know, going back to what you were saying at the beginning about the visualization, I feel like there's some connection there because when you're visualizing positive things happening, you know, it's like some of the stuff that Joe Dispenza says, like your heart and your brain are already in that mindset then. And then you show up and your body doesn't know the difference. Like it already feels like the emotion already happened.
Beautiful. Yes. And I'm totally in alignment with that theory, that approach. When I was a little girl, maybe teenage years, I learned the phrase fake it till you make it. I learned the phrase smile. It makes your brain think you're happy. Fun fact about my mother, she feels like she invented that phrase. Smile, it makes your brain think you're happy. I can't remember how old I was, maybe in my early 20s. And I was using that. And she said, I invented that. Somebody else took my idea, but I'm
It
the
wasn't
one
Einstein. It wasn't Einstein. It was your mom.
It was my mother. Isn't that great? So I'm going to quote my mother from now on. My mother says, smile, it makes your brain think you're happy. And those were, for me, those were, I have a friend that calls these breadcrumbs. They were breadcrumbs that I left myself. You know, in my past that I go back to and I think, oh, at some level, I knew that was true. You know, I knew that was true. I felt that was true.
Yeah.
Yeah. The visualization, getting on that vibration and then you stay on that vibration and things that are not on that vibration aren't attracted to you.
I love that. I love that. I want to go back a little bit and, I want to hear about what inspired you to become a coach in the first place. Like take us back to before EOS, like how did that happen?
Great. There's a really probably beautiful story I could tell you about. I just had this deep passion for helping entrepreneurs and I felt like it was my calling. I could tell you that story, but do you want the real story?
Of course. Yeah. Only real stories. Yeah.
I've got only real stories because I find that I just find myself in situations where I'm like, I'm so glad I followed this path because now I love coaching. I just love it. But I feel like I fell into it accidentally. And at the same time, because this is a paradox, I feel like I've always been a coach. When I was 11 years old, the school chose, you know, I was in a school of maybe, you know, 500 kids in junior high school. The school chose 12 of us to be what they called peer leaders. No one knew what it was. I just got a letter in the mail and they said, come attend this thing. And I'm like, that sounds good. So somebody saw something in me early before I even saw it in myself. I was also the child who friends would come to me and tell me their problems. I also never engaged in gossip. If friends would gossip to me, it felt like a foreign language. I'd be like, you know, this person's being mean to me and I don't think they like me. And I'd look at them like, what did you say? Like, what are you doing about it? So I feel like I've always had some of those, but the way I really got into coaching was my two little boys, when they were maybe 5 and 8, they love, love, love to learn. Yet they did not like school. It just did not connect for me. I loved school. I still love school. I love learning. But it was not connecting for me. One day, Dylan, the little one, came home and he was crying. And I said, what's going on? And he said, my teacher was teaching us about the states of matter. And I told her, she kept saying there were only three states of matter. And I told her there were four states of matter. Now, I never knew there were four states of matter.
Yeah, I was like, huh.
Like, what? Until my boys, they are discovering this and they're reading these books at the library and all this stuff. And so at that point, I knew there were four states of matter, but only because they had told me. Like, what? And he says, and my teacher said, and she's a delightful human being. Just, she's a delightful human. She said, Dylan, we don't learn about that in first grade. And he was distraught. He's like, why is she teaching us something wrong? And, you know, and we had a good cry together and I felt like, okay, I've got to find a new school for these boys. Well, the school I found for them was for gifted and talented, which does not mean that these boys are smarter than anybody else. It means they learn differently.
Yeah.
I found a school. It was very expensive. And I knew that the path I was going right there was not going to fund their school. At the same time, I was running our CPA firm on EOS. And I was talking to Don Tinney about just getting myself some more training in EOS. And he's like, Jill, I think this is your calling to be an EOS implementer. And I felt that. I felt a glow. I felt my magic. And it was, this is going to be scary. This is going to be hard. I'm leaving a really good, stable, good paying job to go out and start my business. But it was that pull of helping my children get the education that would help them love learning. And that's how I got into EOS implementation. Once I really got into EOS implementation, I'm like, oh my gosh, Gino always teaches us that we are a teacher, a facilitator, and a coach. I was a great teacher. I started my career as a preschool teacher. I knew how to teach. I know that. A facilitator, you can learn facilitation skills, but a coach, I'm like, what is that? So I just started diving deep into that. And now I love it. So that's how.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful. It sounded like it comes from a place of both passion and sacrifice and doing something amazing for your children too, and putting them in a position to succeed and bring out the best in them. Like, that's incredible. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for those words of reflection. I've never quite looked at it that way before. Again, Amir, you're being a really great coach this morning. You get the sense that it comes from passion and sacrifice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. It's beautiful.
I often tell my boys thank you when they're like, Mom, you're rocking it. I'm like, and let's remember that you gave me that shove, my love, my passion for you to unfold into your own magic is that spark, that passion that pushed me over the edge.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I love is it almost feels like you lean into things that make you feel a little bit more uncomfortable and push you out of your comfort zone, right?
Why do I do that? There have been four or five really impactful experiences I've had in my life where I get this feeling that overcomes me. Mm-hmm. It's both still, very still and quiet, and big. And it's almost as if I cannot resist it that pushes me into those uncomfortable situations. And if I look back on them, they've always served me. They've always taken me to a next level of service, really. Mm-hmm. A next level of service.
I love that. Next level of service.
Yeah.
Okay. So we can end with some rapid fire questions if you're cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do it.
All right. I didn't show you these beforehand because they're awesome. Truly rapid fire. So I want to see.
I love it.
Okay. Kay. Favorite book?
Atlas Shrugged.
Oh, nice. Ayn Rand, right?
Mm-hmm.
I bought it a long time ago and it was just so huge and I just never read it. So
I've read it three times.
Wow.
All at different stages of life.
Uh-huh.
It's probably time to read it again.
Okay. I need to give it a shot. favorite city, like, you know, when you're traveling and stuff, what's the city that you really enjoy going to over and over again?
Favorite city. Oh, ready. Manitou Springs, Colorado.
Uh-huh.
Just outside of Colorado Springs.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Quirky, and they have wells, like seven different wells that bring up the minerals, and you just can scoop your hand. You know, it comes out of a spigot and you just drink it right from the earth. Very cool,
As
very cool.
natural as you can get.
As natural as you will, as you as maybe a civilized human can get at this point.
All right, and then like your favorite workout, like is it yoga, weights, like what is it that, what's your favorite workout
We already
that you
talked
could do
about.
like every day?
Yeah, dance. And I
Dance, okay?
literally will dance and get my heart rate up and I just dance.
Yeah. I love that. That's awesome. Jill, thank you so much for joining me today. Really appreciate it. This was so much fun.
This was delightful. This is just like having coffee with a friend, except now I feel like I want to ask you all the questions and find out more about you. So we'll have to do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. Any final takeaways? Anything you want to share?
Anything that I'd want to share? Here's what I'm inspired to share, especially for entrepreneurs listening to this podcast. The name of the podcast is The Show Must Go On, which I love it. And if I had a single thing to share, it would be keep going. Keep going. If we think about the magic of the EOS process, not the EOS tools. The EOS tools are great and simple and perfect and gorgeous and useful. But if we think about the magic of the EOS process or any system that you're running your business on, it's just stay in the process. Just stay in the process. Stay in your quarterly pulsing meetings, stay in your weekly meetings. You might have horrible meetings a few times a year, but you gotta stay in it. So just keep going, especially when it feels like everything is not working. Stay in your disciplines, stay in your process, keep going.
I love that. Thank you so much. And where can everyone find you online?
I am on LinkedIn. So Jill Young, Texas, if you search for that, Jill, I come up right away, which is easy. LinkedIn is probably the best place to follow me. And I do have an email address that can come right to me. That's jill@jillyoung.com. There's also a fun website you can play around on. There's a lot of magic over there, a lot of crazy videos and insights. My books are there.
Awesome. Jill,
Are they
thank you so
fun?
much. Really appreciate you, okay?
Awesome. Thank you, Amir. I really appreciate being invited. And you asked such good questions. I got to unfold right in front of you, right in
I
front of you and your audience.
really enjoy it. We got to do it again.
What a great way to start a day. Thank
Yeah.
you.
Thank you.